Let's take just a moment in prayer and ask, inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I may speak the words that God wishes me to speak, and that each of us may hear God speaking to our souls, leading us closer to Him. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, if there are any misquotes in the gospel passage I just read, please forgive me. I'm not used to keeping my reading glasses in my pocket, and every once in a while I get caught off guard while I open my Bible up and go, my arms aren't quite long enough. It doesn't happen all the time, but every once in a while, and it seems to be getting worse. This gospel passage should give us all a little bit of pause. I think it's easy for us to fall into the trap of taking our spiritual life for granted. After all, probably most of us who are here this evening were baptized as children and have grown up being Catholic and living our faith. And so it's very easy for us to think about the things that we do, going to Mass on Sunday, going to confession, saying our prayers. But we should never take our life of discipleship for granted. After all, I think that's one of the lessons that we all learned rather harshly this past year when even Sunday Mass had been suspended for a while. But even more than that is to not take our own relationship with Christ for granted. Admittedly, there are lots of things that can distract us from our life of discipleship. There's work or school, family commitments, even the acts of charity towards those in need. There are any number of things that pull for our attention. And many of them are good things. Many of the things that we find ourselves doing are things that we look at our life and we say, well, I'm glad to be doing that. I'm proud of that. I've gone to work and provided for my family. I've gone to school and studied. I've done these things to volunteer my time to help other people. And all of that is good. But it can lead us away from specifically our relationship with Christ. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I read a study that Matthew Kelly had done once. This is a bit dated. It was quite a few years ago by now. But he had done a study of quite a number of Catholics who are participating in their faith. And one of the things that he asked in the study was, how often do you pray? And almost every single person, without fail in the study, said that they pray daily, which I found to be a bit remarkable. But then I kept reading a little bit more into the study, and he began to drill down into what does that look like? What does it mean to pray daily? That people are saying yes, that they were doing this. And what he uncovered was that it is true that most Catholics pray every day. But it's also true that for most Catholics, they feel that their personal spiritual life is a bit disorganized and rushed through, and oftentimes has nothing more than quick prayers of need throughout the day. Which Matthew Kelly says, and I would agree with this, that's a good thing that people are doing that. But there's something missing. A little bit more intentionality in prayer, a little bit more intentionality in the time set aside. And Matthew Kelly discovered as he was researching this that one of the reasons why that happens is that people don't know how to pray. They also don't know always the importance of that time spent in prayer. But certainly the how to pray was the important part. And I've spoken about this before, but I lead into this because I want to start with this foundation that a disciple of the Lord is someone who prays, but not in a haphazard way, but in a way that has a sort of plan to it, a sort of intentionality, time set aside for it. Not just a quick passing prayer in a moment of need. Whether it's a devotion to praying the daily rosary or Divine Mercy Chaplet or both, but especially the witness of the saints point to the daily fidelity to time spent in mental prayer, such as Lectio Divina or meditation on scripture, that makes some of the biggest difference in one's spiritual life. And so Kelly's insight into this, I think, is important for us, especially when we consider this passage from Matthew's gospel where Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who enter through that are few." You see, I'm linking these two things together because we need to have some confidence in our life as disciples of the Lord to admit to the truth that entering into heaven is going to take some work. Popularized by a very fashionable bishop these days is a heresy of universalism. This heresy has been condemned by the church, and yet it still finds itself creeping into people's popular thoughts in more subtle ways. But essentially, the heresy of universalism is that in the end, everyone goes to heaven anyway. There's a very famous bishop who is currently an auxiliary bishop in Los Angeles, California, who proposes some variation of this heresy. There's even a bishop in Rome who gave another variation on this, who said that God's love is so infinite that there is no possible way that he would leave a soul damned for all eternity, that hell would only be a transitory state, and once the person had a sufficient sense of sorrow for their sins, God would set them free from hell. But this innovation has no background in Catholic theology. Our Lord himself proposes that there are two ultimate outcomes. In the end, all that remains is heaven or hell. This is such a controversial point that many people refuse to think about death, much less eternal damnation. And yet death comes to us all. Sometimes after years of suffering, other times in the blink of an eye. But death will come to each of us. We do not like to think about it. It makes us uncomfortable, fearful even. But I don't think that there's anything more important for us to meditate upon than our own death. Our own mortality snaps things into focus, teaches us what's important, and perhaps maybe even to live out the country music song, "Live as Though You Were Dying." So if death comes to each of us, and Jesus says that the gate to eternal life is narrow and the road is hard, we shouldn't be surprised that there will be great difficulty in growing in holiness. That fidelity to daily prayer will be a challenge. There will be seasons in our life where it will come easily. We will enjoy it. We'll be faithful to its consistent practice. And there will be seasons in our life when we'll struggle with it, perhaps even stepping away from it for a time. But the life of a disciple is a life of continual conversion, not just perfection. By God's grace, perfection can come in the future life, the new and heavenly Jerusalem. But here, a striving after the entry of the narrow gate on the hard pathway is the life of a Christian. Nevertheless, it is made easier by the grace of the Holy Spirit. St. Thérèse of Lisieux, one of the great mystics in the life of the church, teaches her little way to holiness, a sense of abandonment to divine providence. Not that she did nothing. In fact, she continually strove to place herself in the presence of Christ, placing herself in the presence of prayer, placing herself in that time of quiet and recollection. But once she did that, she let God do the work in her heart. In fact, it's a witness of most of the saints. So when we think about what is hard and what is the narrow gate, it isn't so much changing ourselves, but rather letting God change us. Letting the Holy Spirit do the work of conversion in our heart. And in a sense, getting out of the way. If we keep death before our eyes and know that eternal life is the promise given to us through the sacrament of baptism and through a life of discipleship, but recognizing that we cannot fall for a belief that in the end everyone goes to heaven, or even a more Protestant notion of once saved, always saved, but rather to take our own spiritual life with the utmost seriousness, that just as we have this past year given much concern to our physical health, our spiritual health deserves even more concern, more care, more focus, more attention. It's been said that holiness, what that actually looks like, is kept from our imagination. If we were to understand what a complete transformation in Christ looks like, we would give up. We would feel as though we could not accomplish it. But rather, the path of holiness is revealed to us step by step. As we move towards holiness, as we move towards overcoming particular sins, God seemingly reveals a goal that's slightly further away and a little bit more precision to the hurtfulness of our sins. And again, taking more steps forward, that goal again seems to move further. Sin seems to become more of something for us to reject, even in its subtlety. This is normal. As I've discovered this principle in my own life, it seems as though as I've made my own feeble efforts at prayer and conversion, I become less certain of my salvation. Not less certain in God's love for me, far more certain of that, but far less certain of the strength of my own will. Far less certain of whether or not I'm sufficiently sorry for the sins that I've committed. I fear that that will just continue. But I suppose that's the case for all of us. Are we willing to strive to walk the hard path to enter the narrow gate? But we cannot despair. We cannot foreshorten the grace that God wishes to give us. I've learned a lot of things in my years of being a priest. But one of the things that I've learned and have said multiple times, is that there's always a workaround for something. No matter what happens, we can always figure out a way to make it work. As I was thinking about that, I said to someone just a few weeks ago, don't worry about it. We'll find out a workaround. The only thing that we can't work around is death. And then I paused and realized, even the Lord solved that one. The resurrection of Christ is a workaround for even death. No great human story can ever top the story of Christ. The story of our Lord who entered into human history and through his own suffering and death rose. Rose to a new life that he's calling us. We cannot take it for granted. And we cannot cheapen the mercy he wishes to give us by saying that simply everyone merits it in the end. Because in fact, no one merits it. It's only in striving to live as a life of discipleship with the Lord that God's grace can give us this eternal life. Even a workaround for death. Do not despair of the call to holiness. Do not despair in the struggle of conversion. No matter how seemingly hard it may be to overcome sin or to remain faithful in prayer, know that ultimately it's God's grace that brings us our conversion of heart. And then ultimately God's grace that carries us through the narrow gate to eternal life.